Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is a show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed, and everyone can, as you have done, download it and hopefully enjoy it and see what you get out of listening to my opinions on various books and novels and things like that. So this is going to be a slightly different episode than normal because instead of reviewing a novel, which is what I normally do, or a series of books that I sometimes do, this is going to be a short story collection. I think this is only the second short story collection I've reviewed here in the 5 years I've been, or 6 years, however many years I've been doing this podcast now. The other one was not the life cycle, it was The Story of Your Lives and Others. And this is going to be one of the two short story collections by Peter F. Hamilton called Manhattan in Reverse. And when I first saw this, I thought, oh, this is going to be a short story collection featuring the characters and the world of the Commonwealth universe, because he did a short story collection before set in the Confederation universe called A Second Chance at Eden, and I read that and really enjoyed it. Some really great short stories in that one. But actually, it's only three of the stories in this collection in Manhattan Reverse are set in the Commonwealth universe. The others are, you know, standalone stories. So, again, it's always a bit strange to do short story collection reviews, because I'm never quite sure what to start. Should I talk just about the whole collection, or should I go through some individual stories? Anyway, I did make some notes here. It was quite a while ago when I actually listened to this audiobook, and I made some notes at the time. Hopefully I'll be able to remember what I need to say when I go through these. Of course, I didn't make a note of all of the stories because I thought, well, it'll just be really easy to just look up a list. I'll just go to the Audible page and look up the list of the books. But of course, as always happens in these short story collections, they never just put a list of which stories are there in order in the blurb. It says, you know, the blurb here, I go to goodreads.com, it's going, oh, well, we've got these stories and these stories and these stories, but it never just says, okay, there's this story, this story, this story, this story. And when you've got a normal book, like a paper book or an ebook, I guess you can just turn to the contents page contents and look up what's coming up or what I need to do. But of course, with an audiobook, it's very difficult because they never do that. So I just wish that audiobooks with their short story collections or these other things will just do a list. But thankfully, if I just go to Goodreads, and I've got the Goodreads page up here, only one person has only one friend, I guess, has put any kind of review there. But most people who do review, they actually say, I thought this about this story, and they go through story by story, which is very handy to actually go and check out other people's reviews it's handy because the publisher doesn't just list the stories there, so I can find this. Anyway, I'm rambling. Let's get on with this. So, what I really enjoyed about this collection is that I think it's pretty much presented in the order that these stories are written in, and you can see, of course, all of the themes, all of the ideas, and all of the concepts that Peter F. Hamilton puts into his longer stories, like the Void trilogy, and all of the things that you get repeated throughout his novels. For example, someone said, "Oh, The Great North Road. It's just the same old with Peter F. Hamilton. It's like his greatest hits." And I'm like, yeah, well, that's what you want. You know, if you want criminal investigations, if you want action, if you want some weird aliens, if you want portals through to other worlds, if you want long-lived, sort of like the bionics or whatever it is, when you're controlling your body through, implants and all of that kind of stuff. If you want all of those kind of things, and if you want Deus Ex Machina endings, you know what you're going to get if you pick up a Peter F. Hamilton novel. That's the kind of, those are the things that he jams on. It's like going, if you're going to complain about that, it's like picking up an Asimov book and going, oh, there's too many robots in this. that's the themes, that's the things that he's going to put into his writing. And you can see, like I say, the ideas that he's developed or the ideas that he's included into his main fiction. With these shorter stories, they're all there as well. Some of the stories have got all of them, but when I read through this, I was like, oh, this story covers this main topic. And then the next one is like, oh, and this story covers this main topic. Oh, and this story covers this other, you know, main theme or concept. And so I quite like this short story collection to, you know, as an update or like as an introduction to the concepts that you need to sort of, we well, don't need, but the same concepts which he touches on in his larger work here, you can just go, well, I don't want to read, you know, 4,000 pages or 2,000 pages just to get through to the end of... or just to pick up some of these ideas. And there's the first, like, four stories kind of introduce you to these main themes. So let's start with the beginning. The first story is a novella called Watching Trees Grow. This is the only story in this collection that I'd actually read before. It was published years and years and years ago in this two novella books, and it was, I can't remember who published it. Maybe I could look it up here. Maybe it would be listed here on Wikipedia. Yeah, Watching Trees Grow, it was by PS Publishing, and it's one of those books where one story you start at the front and you read, and then you actually just turn the book over, and then, you know, there's another front to the book on the other side, and there was another novella there as well. I can't remember what the other novella was, but Watching Trees Grow. And this is a very interesting, like, kind of an alternative history kind of story, where Rome didn't fall, and... like the Roman Empire stuck around, and there's all these big families. You know, there's the Caesars is one family, and there's these other families. And the way it works is that these different families have a lot of power, and they have over the last few millennium, by selective breeding, have bred themselves to have longer life, and other, like, family members or other people that, you know, it's all of like this eugenics or you know, human breeding to bring out the traits that you desire, but the long life is one of the most important things. And there is a murder at the beginning of this this story, and the murder happens in, I think, like 1880. And in 1880, they already have electric cars and, you know, technology is, and telephones. And the technology is sort of picked up pace compared to the real world. And then technology picks up again and picks up again and picks up. But the murder isn't solved immediately. But these people with very long lives stick around. So the murder victim, of course, dies. The perpetrator of the crime is gonna have a long, long life, and of course the investigator is gonna have a long, long life. So the title comes from the idea that humans live so long that they can watch trees grow, and entire forests grow and are cut down and grow again by the time that the detective finally catches his man. And I remember really enjoying this story. I think I read it twice before, years and years ago, and now reading listening to it, this is an audiobook this time out, and I was thinking, oh, this is really good. And I was thinking, well, I've read this before, I should know who does it, but it's such a well-crafted murder mystery, and picking up on things which, of course, is relying, you know, you need to understand the world, you need to understand the themes and the concepts, the science fiction concepts, and once you do get your head around them, who the murderer is, kind of, you know, like it always is, you know, oh, of course it was that person, that makes loads more sense. And of course when you get to the end, so this really is, you know, the one of the main things is this long life rejuvenation techniques that are coming here, and also the bionics. One of the main characters invents the bionics, which is, you know, the sort of like the every cell has a little machine in it, or every cell of your body has a little machine in it that kind of keeps it clean. That kind of thing comes into Peter F. Hamilton's later novels, and this seems to probably is going to be one of its first outings here in the short story. And it says here on his Wikipedia page that this was written in 2000, so I must have read it back then, or roundabout back then. So the next story is let me bring up my list here, is a story called Foot Vote. And Foot Vote is a good introduction to the ideas of portals, his gateways to other worlds, the idea being, oh, someone's knocking on my door. Hello? No, I thought someone was knocking on my door. So these portals that go through to other worlds, and this is a kind of a political satire set in England, and the portals to other worlds is kind of invented by a Daily Mail reader, kind of right-wing centrist kind of, well, it's this weird thing that you're not quite sure what the politics, except that the politics of the person who Sort of invented this and has opened a portal to another world. He has very strong opinions, let me say. So he's going to have universal healthcare, but also no welfare, you're going to have to be able to work for your living and do this, but also these other things. So there's these weird kind of conflicting, like, utopian ideals of a Daily Mail reader, who also happens to be one of the most powerful people in England. And like you say, it's just a clever little, not very long story, but it tells of a family, and the mother is separated from the father, but they've got two kids, and the father comes and picks up the two kids and takes them away for the day. And of course, you quickly pick up that the father is going to go with his new girlfriend through the portal to this other world. Yet at the same time, the mother is going to protest the portal. It's a sort of like a political hot topic, this portal through, because so many people are leaving England that the economy of England is kind of falling apart, and people are protesting that. But then other people are wanting to just get out of it. So it's this strange self-fulfilling prophecy that if you take lots of the influential and wealthy people out of England and send them through for a new life, setting up on a new planet, of course England is going to fall apart and the grass will always be greener on the other side. But the really fun thing about this is that each of the little mini chapters in this novella are split apart by the manifesto or the constitution or whatever it is that is put up by the person who invented this wormhole and has opened it up and is starting this new world. It starts off and you think, oh, that's good, yeah, I can get behind that. And then there's a few things where you go, oh, not really strange, but, you know, I guess they're serious. But then it gets onto the point where it's like, and if you're a traffic warden, you know, it lists the kinds of people who are not allowed through the portal. If you're not English, if you're not white, and you're like, really? And then you go, if you're a traffic warden, if you've ever done this, if you've ever done that, if you've ever... And it really did remind me of one of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe books. It tells a little story about, I think I've mentioned this a number of times on this podcast. It's like, and they set off with three ships, and there was a ship with all the business people, and there was a ship with all of the scientist people, and there was a ship with all of the service people, and the ship with the service people didn't make it. And that was great, because then they could get on without having to support all of these different telephone, sanitation technicians. And of course, a plague is spread by unsanitized telephones and they all die. And it feels very much like that. So I actually quite enjoy this little story, although it is a little bit dated. It seems to be very much from the mid-90s, and now we're coming up to the mid-noughties or whatever it is anyway, so it feels a few years out of date, many of these references. I think it's even been updated for the modern world. I saw that in a review here on Goodreads, so they changed a few of the references, but it still feels a little bit dated. The next story is called If At First, and this, again, is a little bit of a dry run, I guess, coming up with some of the ideas or some of the techniques for writing a story with time travel involved, which kind of plays into some of the time manipulation, the storyline in the Void trilogy. Again, I don't want to go into too many details for spoilers, and it's about a detective who hears about a guy who thinks another guy could travel, is a time traveler or is from the future, and it's quite a short story, but again, yet another police procedural, starts off in a police procedural kind of way, which Peter Hamilton does very well, but then takes a turn into the quirky, and is quite a fun little story. And while I found it quite interesting just from a storytelling point of view as a short story, personally I found it very interesting because I wrote a novel called Minding Tomorrow, which also has strange time travel, and it's pretty much, well, not pretty much the same story, but many of the concepts which I use in Minding Tomorrow are literally a one-for-one kind of repeated here in Peter F. Hamilton's If At First. So I don't want to go into If At First too much for spoilers for my own novel, which I think you should all go read. You can find that on my website. But just the idea being that if the idea of sending information back in time, you know, what you can remember, and then if you're going to be famous or if you want to make money, one of the things you could do is rip off popular music and become a musician, which is something that I definitely talked about this on my podcast. I think it was podcast number 100, where I talk about science fiction and my personal philosophy, which I go into a lot more details in Mining Tomorrow, but I saw the same kind of thing popping up here in If At First. So that was a quite an interesting a little reading experience, specifically for me. The next story goes more into more long life stuff. This is like a 1,000-word short story, and normally Peter F. Hamilton, he does 1,000 pages rather than just 1,000 words. This started off life as a... let me bring up the Wikipedia page here again. It was... maybe it's not on Wikipedia. I can't find it. Anyway, I think it was published as in a scientific journal like Nature or Science or something like that. So it was just a... like more of an article length piece, which is fine to include that in a short story because it is a short story. It's very creepy. I don't remember too much about it because it kind of comes in, it comes and goes. But I do like some of the implications and the like that when you get to the very end, you're like, oh, but it's over so quickly. Not very much else to say about that. You should just read it. And then this brings us to the final three stories. How many stories do we go? One, two, three, four. Yeah, so only 7 stories, I guess. So the final story, final set of 3 stories are actually set in the Commonwealth world. And even if you've never read the Commonwealth saga, any of Pandora's Star or Misspent Youth or the Void trilogy, it's okay because these first 4 stories have introduced you to what you need to know. They've introduced the long life, they've introduced the bionics, they've introduced the the rich people controlling portals to other worlds and things like that. So once you actually get all of those in place, you don't need to have read any of the Commonwealth books to understand what is going on in some of these stories. But I do think the first of these 3 stories, Blessed by an Angel, is probably the least accessible of the short stories if you've not read any other Peter F. Hamilton before. And yet, at the same time, I think it was my favourite story in the... Oh, maybe these next two, Blessed by an Angel and Demon Trap, both of them very good stories, my favourites in this collection. I guess the other favourite is Watching Trees Grow, but I've read that before. So Blessed by an Angel, the idea being that there's lots of portals to different worlds, and some of the central worlds, their technology has advanced very, 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 very quickly. And throughout the Commonwealth saga, you do get these different factions of people who've, like, some of them have downloaded their brains into these machines, and they want to progress really quickly, and others want to keep their humanity and not progress very quickly, and some people are aiming for the... what do you call it, like a singularity, and others want to take the technology in different directions. So the main idea behind this is what would happen if someone comes to a less technologically advanced planet or less technologically advanced civilization and decide to impose their higher, much, 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 much higher technology onto the other people. And I think there's some playing with the political themes and ideas here in this, talking about colonial past as well. This planet doesn't want to advance too quickly. It wants to keep going and just go along at the pace of the human pace of progress. And these other from this angel comes along. I think it's called the angel from a higher technology. I think they're called the Hires. And they think, well, it's terrible that you people don't have robots doing all your work for you, and it's terrible that you're going to die in 150 years' time. You could live for 1,000 years and you're happy, and you're going to give birth to kids, and the kids might not be perfect and all that kind of stuff. So this angel comes down and wants to spread kind of in a viral kind of fashion. I mean, it's difficult to say, but anyone wants to spread new technology with forcibly, yet with subterfuge. So the whole idea of being blessed by an angel, the angel comes down and kind of impregnates you with technology which is way beyond the level. And so this is an interesting, again, more of a police investigation operation, trying to track down the angel who is disguised as a local, and also told from the point of view of the people who are blessed by this angel. There's a really good twist at the end. From my own personal history and identity, I kind of picked up on the twist quite early, but still, I think a very, very clever story with a great twist. And again, I'm often a bit annoyed by short stories which it's all about the twist. It's like, okay, we set it up and here's the punchline, and if the punchline doesn't work, the short story doesn't work. Whereas I think there's more going on in these some of these short stories. probably influenced by me knowing the background of this, of all this story, by of course having read the Commonwealth novels. So the next short story is The Demon Trap. And again, this is one of my three favorites here in the book. So this features Paula Mayo, who is one of the main characters in the in all of these Commonwealth stories, in Pandora's Star and Judas and Change and the Void trilogy. Here we get a little bit of what she was doing. I think before the first story. Yeah, I think this is set before the first story. Not the first story, because. Set before Pandora's Star, so this is like an introduction to her as we knew her before what's going on. Or maybe it was just... No, the next story is just after Judas Unchained. But so the idea being that there's portals to different worlds, and there's this one world which doesn't want to have the portal open, because once the portal opens and all the other people come in, they lose their identity, and they want to make it their, you know, make it with their own way. They want to be isolationists. So this... this isolationist kind of terrorist group shoots down a plane, and immediately Paula Mayo and I think there's another character from the main sequence of the Commonwealth, which is it Christabel? I can't remember who's one of the members of the dynastic families who are controlling things there. And so they're together working as a team, and they're like, yes, okay, well, the plane is shot down. It only happened 20 minutes ago. So if we get there to the scene and we get here and we do this, and they track down the killer, and then the killer doesn't remember any of it. So there's maybe memory wiped there. What's going on? And then this goes through. And again, I would say what other idea this introduces, which is then explored in Pandora's Star and Judas and Chains, and a little bit in the Void trilogy. But telling you what it is would kind of kind of spoil the story. So I don't want to give away the end or what's going on there. But it's some really good. Again, more of this like isolationist political kind of things, and that's what I really like about these books where you have portals through to other worlds. The idea being, and I've mentioned this before, I think, you know, I definitely went into it in the Atlas Shrugged review that I did, and some of these others, that I think, you know, utopian thinking can work out. You know, it can work out if nobody can leave. Or arrive. So as soon as you have a situation where people can choose not to take part in the society, or other people from outside the society can go, well, I want some of that. I want all of the benefits, so I'm going to move there. And of course, destabilize it. That's when these utopias kind of fall apart. And that's another genius thing about 1984, is because we've got this, you know, classical dystopia. The only way that dystopia can continue is because there's no way out. If you leave Eurasia, you end up in East Asia, and if you leave one of those two places, you end up in Oceania. There's no way out of that situation, and so it continues. So you can have these stable utopias or stable dystopias which could only ever work in isolation, and that's what you get quite a bit in these Commonwealth books, is that there'll be a place and there's only one portal in and one portal out, or one wormhole in, or whatever they call them, and so they're like, okay, so what do we do here? What goes on here? And people go, well, you can't, because nobody's allowed in. And of course, Paula Mayo comes from one of these, is Huxley's Haven, one of these isolationist worlds. And of course, this in the Demon Trap, this world is going, no, we're going to be isolationist as well. It's just going to be us. We're just going to do things our way. And the leaders are going to go, yes, we're going to do this, and we're only going to allow this amount of technology. And they kind of succeed. They're saying, yeah, that's it. We're going to close down this wormhole. And so anyone who doesn't want to come with us, or doesn't want to be trapped here on this planet just with us on this little desert world, that's it, you should leave. So of course, millions upon millions of people are trying to get out all at the same time, and Paula Mayo has to again, in this time when everyone's leaving, and this new isolated planet is going to be set up, and all these other people are leaving. She has to work out what's going on with this. Who shot the plane down, or why was the plane shot down, and what was that? All of that going on. So that's another good story. And finally, the story which gives this collection its name, Manhattan in Reverse, brings up the rear. And I noticed here on Goodreads.com. Let me see if I can open that page. Tamahome, who you might know from the SFF Audio podcast he takes part in there, and has actually been a guest on this podcast as well. So he says, this short story collection is available on audio and ebook, but it doesn't seem to be in the US stores in print yet. Then he goes, I read the title story, 40 pages, which features Paula Meyer from the Commonwealth universe. It's kind of a Western mystery on another planet, not the most thrilling in the world, but a pretty good story. So not the most thrilling in the world. I must admit, this story is pretty much the opposite of most thrilling in the world for me. And it's a real pity that Tamahome read this story first, because, as I've said before, there's kind of like a structure to these short stories, that the earlier stories introduce the ideas and concepts that he can then play with, of course, in later novels, but also in these later short stories in this book. In this collection itself. So, So Paula Meyer, after the events of Pandora's Star, yeah, and Judas Unchained, or whatever it is. And she's like, oh, I want to take a break. And it's like, well, why don't you go over here and do this little mystery? And she's like, it's not really going. So she goes out to the outback. She goes on, it's like taking a trip out. And it's really strange because this is Paula Meyer. She's meant to be she's been genetically engineered to fight crime and be awesome and be good with, you know, be good at combat as well as good with her brain. And she isn't affected by political stuff. And she doesn't really do it for money or anything. She's just there to be a crime-solving machine. And what Peter F. Hamilton does really, really well is the, you know, galaxy spanning mysteries. He does the police procedurals in the Great North Road. It's sort of like half of that book is this like really in-depth crime, like murder investigation set in a science fiction future. This is what he does really well. And then this, in Manhattan in Reverse, it's sort of like, oh, there's some aliens on this planet and they've turned violent and killing people, and we've got to work out why. And Paula Meyer doesn't really do very much. When she gets there, she meets up with this specialist, this like Crocodile Dundee kind of guy who's out there and knows the terrain and knows the locals and knows everything. She kind of just tags along for this story. And then at the end of the story, I mean, it would be an okay short story, but it doesn't really tie in with the Commonwealth universe. Paula Meyer doesn't do very much. And at the end of it, there's this, well, it's not so much a twist, but the explanation of the idea of Manhattan in Reverse. It kind of diminishes what Manhattan was and kind of diminishes what might go on here. It's another one of those little fuzzy kind of things where you go, oh, well, there's the locals. Well, are they intelligent or not? Are they not intelligent? Is this world going to become a nature reserve for these pre-sentient things, or are they post-sentient and it's not a nature reserve? It's actually that kind of issue, and it's not as clear cut as this little fuzzy. There's a announcement going on. You probably can't even hear that, but it's distracting me. We've just arrived in port. We're in Peru. Let me look out the window. Can't really see much. In the wrong way around, and I can't see anything. Anyway, so, what was I getting up to? So, yeah, so at the end of it, the kind of the twist that happens, or the decision that takes place at the end, is kind of this thing where you just go, oh, really? Oh, is that... That's the explanation, is it? And it kind of, for me, kind of falls flat. Or if it doesn't fall flat, it's kind of insulting to the Native Americans who did own Manhattan before it was bought by the Dutch, or by the, and then taken over. I don't remember all the exact history there and politics of who owned Manhattan and why Manhattan Reverse is a good idea. But yeah, so that's the final story, probably my least favourite, and it was a bit of a pity to end on, like, as I'd really enjoyed Blessed by an Angel and The Demon Trap and The Forever Kitten and these other stories that came before, kind of ended with okay. So if I was going to rate Manhattan in Reverse, it would be quite a low rating, but overall this is a good collection. Again, I'm not going to give it a rating or a published rating on the normal list of ratings that I give on the website there. But I guess overall, I'd give it like a 4 stars. It is a very good collection. If you've not read Peter F. Hamilton before and you're not a big fan of his work like I am, you probably wouldn't get as much out of it. But certainly, if you see a copy of Watching Trees Grow, or if you find that in print anywhere, definitely check it out. Foot Vote is good. If at First is silly and slightly clever. Forever Kitten is very, very short story. Blessed by an Angel and Demon Trap. If you've read the Commonwealth novels already, definitely check out Blessed by an Angel and Demon Trap. I'd say don't really bother with Manhattan in Reverse unless you're a completist or unless you like disappointing short stories. On novella, I guess, well, novelette or however long it is. I'm not sure how long each of these take up. So this is, I actually listened to it as a book from audible.com. And I can't find the length. There's about 10 hours worth of listening here. So if you actually want to help out the podcast and if you actually want to check out this book, which is actually a very good audiobook, it's read by lots of different people. There's different readers for each story, and all of them were very good readers, although it was quite a while ago now that I listened to this, maybe about a month ago that I listened to this. It is worth having. So if you want to check this out for free, you can go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP and there you can sign up for a free trial, a month-long free trial, which is plenty enough time to listen to one audiobook. And if you want to continue your trial after that, you can either get a deal where you get two audiobooks a month, which is what I do, the Platinum plan, or you can get the Gold plan, which is one audiobook each month. And it's a very good deal. It works out, you know, if you buy paperback books or anything like that, one credit a month is just as good as buying paperback. So it certainly is in Germany. Ebooks might be a bit cheaper, but here you can have someone performing it for you. So it really is a great deal. And you've always got credits lying around to check out more books in the future. There's not just, of course, this book you can check out. There's 100,000 other books that you can check out for free. Or one of 100,000 books that you can get for free if you go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP. So thanks a lot to Audible for helping out there. I think that's about it. Yeah, it's a good book. It's a good collection. Hopefully you've enjoyed this review, even though it took me quite a while to catch up with it. The next review that I'm going to do, I'll probably record this afternoon or just after I upload this, because I'll be hopefully getting some internet access today. I'll be doing a review of Harry Turtledove's alternative history, science fiction, alien invasion during World War II novel series, World War in the Balance and Tilting the Balance. I've now completed the first two novels in that series. I'm not going to continue on because, to be honest, it's not really worth reading past book one. Of course, I'll get into that a lot more details in that next episode. And then when I get home, me and Juliano will do our Solaris rambling discussion. So if you've got any feedback, email me, luke@juggler.net. Otherwise, you can go to goodreads.com, become my friend on goodreads.com, and that means I can see what you think of the books that I read. Like I say, I'm friends with Tamahomi, and I can check out, he enjoyed this book, Feldspar Sepwood. He gave this book 5 stars, and Sandy rated it 4 stars. Overall, it's got a 3.84 star rating here on by all the reviewers here on Goodreads.com. Also, if you can sign up or you can join the SFBRP listener group and discuss the books that I'm reading and just other random stuff, or that you can connect with other SFBRP listeners via that group. I don't have any forum on my website or anything like that, but if you want to connect with other SFBR listeners and chat with them, you can do that on Goodreads.com. Otherwise, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burge there. And finally, if I think iTunes no longer, I mean, of course, it's still listing my podcast, but if you click on show all episodes, the first 5 or 6 episodes are no longer showing up in the podcast feed as it's displayed on iTunes. I think they're all there if you go on the RSS feed directly from the website, but iTunes no longer lists all of them. But do not fear, there is a page on sfbrp.com called Episode Lists. And if you click on the page Episode Lists, every single book that I've reviewed, every single episode is listed there in 3 different orders. You can see it by, you know, chronological, by episode number, also by star ratings for each of the books, and also by author of the books as well. So check that out. If you ever want to keep track, if you ever want to see what book I've given or rated, there is a page dedicated with all of the episodes, all of the reviews, all listed there in order, with links to the blog posts, links to download the MP3s, links to Amazon and Wikipedia and Goodreads and things like that for all of the reviews and information there. So please go to SFBRP, check out the episode lists page. It's it's a lot of fun to just check through that. So that's it from me for today. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.